You might not be a father yet. It's a challenging job, challenging responsibility, but we want to trust God that this morning we will look at our Heavenly Father again. That's the only way of becoming a good father, to look at the Father of our souls, the Lord Almighty, the God who is marvelous. There is no virtual reality about him. God is real. And, you know, talking about AI, you see, that's why we need to follow God. We don't want to, we are not talking about AI this morning, but it has come upon us. I know people don't want to like hearing this, but it's the truth. It has come upon us. Very soon, you'll be attended to in the hospital by robots. Robots are already operating. If you don't know, just know that now. A lot of people are doing robotic surgery. People are just sitting down somewhere and the robot is doing it. I am wondering, how can a robot operate on a human being? It's happening. The world is being taken over. You switch on the TV and you'll be thinking you're listening to a live person, but actually, it's a robot that has been created in such a way that it's almost like a human being. You know, so the world is moving on. But you see, all this happening in the world should only point to one thing, that we need to focus on God, because there is no artificial intelligence about him. You know what artificial means? Artificial. What's the opposite of artificial? Real. God is the real intelligence. You understand? God is real. There is no artificiality about him. And that's what he wants to do with your life. He wants to create an impression on your heart so much that you know God is real. It's so sad because even human beings are beginning to realize that actually, no matter what you create, there is still emptiness in the world. Somebody, I can't remember who, it was a trick my eldest daughter played on the junior one. So the junior one had asked her, please, can you help me bake some berry muffins? And so she baked the muffins, took a picture, and sent it to her on her phone. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the senior one said, okay, let me see if this will work. She now sent the picture of the muffins and said, oh, sorry, this AI generated. And then the junior one was so offended. Ah, what's all this? How can you deceive me like that? And it was interesting because she believed that the pictures of the muffins she was seeing were generated by AI. And actually, they were real muffins. So she couldn't differentiate between a real picture and an AI-generated picture. Unfortunately, that's what is happening. People are using artificial intelligence to do a lot of things. You know, very soon, as I was listening to the news the other day, driverless cars will be tested in London for the first time. So they are going to roll them out. And we were talking about it some years ago, that very soon it will be far cheaper for you to own a driverless car than for you to drive the car yourself. Why? Because insurance will be far lower on a driverless car than on a car that is driven by a human being. Because they believe that the level of mistakes an artificial intelligence robot makes is far lower than the mistakes a human being will make. Some of you are saying, huh? It's going to happen. The world is moving at a pace where it's come to a point where you cannot but settle down and face the reality, which is God. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will help your heart. So this morning, we want to talk about the Father's sacrifice. And we want to explore the story. You've read it before, but it's good to read the Word of God again. Because, like I told you, God is real. He's our reality, actually. God is not virtual. We've discussed this here before. God is not abstract. You know what abstract means? Sorry, I won't use big words. God is not something you just imagine. Say, where is God? He's up there. So let me just imagine him. He's there. Can you see God? No, I can't see him, but I will just imagine. Let me tell you, God is real. I am not artificial. Am I artificial? Eh? I'm not artificial. Or some of you think, we are not sure. It can be a robot talking to us. You know, robots now are doing, artificial intelligence is doing a lot of things. You know, people have been told, oh, please, you are going to be speaking on a topic for us on Father's Day. They will go on chat GBT. Or they'll go on DeepSeek. And actually, it will produce a wonderful sermon for you. Very thoughtful. And you'll be discharging it from the front. And people will say, wow, wonderful. Excuse me. It's AI. So I didn't do that this morning. Don't worry. I knelt down on my knees and asked God, please speak to us this Father's Day on how we can follow you more closely. So that's why we're going to read Genesis chapter 22. So let's go to Genesis 22 if you have your Bibles. We're going to read this story of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22. I read from verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he, God, said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Verse 3. So, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took of his young men with him and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. We'll stop there. May God grant us understanding as we discuss and study his word together. This story is very strange, I know. But remember, we said God is real. And that's why we want to study God again. We want to study the word of God so that it can be clear to us the reality of the God we follow. Because what was happening here is very challenging. Not only to Abraham, but you see, we are reading the story of Abraham now. But like I always say, this story was written not for Abraham. I pray you understand what I'm saying. This story, Abraham is dead and gone. Isaac is dead and gone. Do you understand? This story was written for us, for our learning. There's nothing Abraham is going to learn from this now. He's gone. Do you understand? It's us that are alive now, that God is trying to catch our attention. And that's why we want to study it. So you see something interesting here. The Bible said God wanted to test Abraham. God wanted to see, does this man actually love me? God wanted to check. It's not that God doesn't know. I pray you understand. You know, at times as fathers, we know. We have already an impression of who our children are. Isn't it? You already know their thinking. You already know how they will argue with you when you tell them to do something. Does it happen? Or it doesn't happen? Or you don't have children that argue with you? I want to ask a question. Do you argue with mommy and daddy when they tell you to do stuff? Good. You see, he looked first. He looked first. If mommy and daddy were in here, maybe he will answer. He looked. He said, what? That's daddy there. Okay, don't worry about that. Daddy won't do anything. Do you argue with him? Do you argue with daddy? So let's look at the Bible together. See something that happened here. God told Abraham in verse 2. The first thing was God called him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I don't want us to overlook that because it's very important. When God calls your attention, I pray you will answer, God, yes, here I am. It looks ordinary. It's a simple statement of fact. Somebody calls you. You say yes. We have a lot of discussions in our house all the time. And I don't know why this discussion came up. How we answer when people call us. One of my kids said, oh, when her friends call her, she'll say, hiya. So I was asking, what's the meaning of hiya? He said, oh, hiya means, yes, but it's hiya. It's H-I-Y-A, hiya. I said, what's the meaning? Oh, it's just hiya. I said, what's the meaning of hiya? So, while I was questioning them, he said, but daddy, when you talk to your junior brother and they call you, you just say, hey. And actually, that's true. I have brothers in Canada. When they call me and I pick up the phone, I say, hey. And it was interesting that these are things we've done that from when we were young. And it was interesting how we answer each other. I know some people are very prim and proper. You know? Hello? Very prim and proper. There's nothing like higher in their dictionary. There's nothing like, No, it is very distinct. But Abraham here knew who he was dealing with. He was dealing with his heavenly father. So when he called Abraham, he said, "Here I am." "Here I am" is very specific, meaning I am available for you. I'm here for you. You've called me, I'm here. God did not call Abraham and Abraham answered his coming. You've seen it before, isn't it? They will call you, you are going. But you say you are coming. Are you actually coming? Hello? Oh yeah, I'm coming. But you are going that way and you're saying I'm coming. Eh? God, it wasn't for Abraham. God called him. And he said, "Here I am." Now, look at it. Verse 2. He now said, "Take your son. Take now your son. Your only son, Isaac, whom you love." Not just your son. Your only son. I thought, but God, Abraham had two sons. Or am I reading the Bible upside down? Abraham had two sons. But God was referring to the son of promise. The son through whom the covenant that will bless the whole world will come through. He said, "Take your son. Your only son." So, it's not just your son. Your only son who I recognize. He now went for that. Whom you love. You see God? God is asking Abraham to take his only son, not just one of his sons, his only son, whom he loves. Do you see what God is trying to do with us? God wants to command your love. Do you understand? God wants only him to be the subject and the center of your heart. So, for God to achieve that with any soul, what God does is that he demands that you give up what you love. I pray you understand me. Let's study together. It will become clearer and clearer. So God said, "Take your son, your only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering." This is a hard thing to do, isn't it? I've been trying to imagine this, but I can't. I can't imagine it. God was saying, "Take Isaac." Now, I don't just want you to take him. Take him to the mountain, build an altar, put him there, strap him, kill him there, and then burn him up. That's terrible. Now, look at what Abraham did. Verse 3. The Bible said, "So Abraham rose early in the morning." You know, as I read that verse, I was asking myself, why didn't Abraham question God? Why? You know, I was asking you, when daddy tells you or mommy tells you to do something, what do? You argue, isn't it, at times? What do you tell? Come. Don't be scared. You are scared. Okay, come. You don't want to come. So what do you tell daddy? Zach, where are your shoes? Go and get your shoes for me. What do you tell daddy? Why? You tell him why? Are you going to load the dishes in the dishwasher? What do you say? No. Are you going to help your junior brother to do his homework? Why? Why me? Do you do rock, paper, scissors at home? Do you do rock, paper, scissors?
They do it a lot.
Who's going to do the dishes? No, it's Abigail. No, it's Samuel. No, it's Abigail. Okay, let's do rock, paper, scissors. So I say, wait. Okay. There's some ice cream. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm interested. No, no, no. It's rock, paper, scissors. Ice cream. There was no rock, paper, scissors with God and Abraham. Eh? And I was asking myself, Abraham did not even ask questions. Abraham did not say, excuse me, God, wait. What are you actually saying? Abraham rose up early in the morning. I'm challenged very deeply here. Early in the morning. Why? Meaning Abraham had primed his heart. I am going to obey God. So there was no time for discussion. I was thinking, you didn't even discuss with Sarah, your wife. Do you know at times, and I have seen it again and again, at times when you want to obey God, this is not the time to start sampling opinion. Do you get it? This is not the time to start saying, I feel God is telling me to do this. What do you think? Most times, if you start sampling opinions, what do you think you will do? Will you obey God? Most likely not. Abraham did not ask for Sarah's opinion. Abraham did not say, God, wait, you remember, Isaac has a mother. Let me discuss with her what you said, and then we'll get back to you. That's the reasonable thing to do. But God, wanting to command our love and our heart, Abraham got up early in the morning. And I've been asking God to help me. Lord, can my obedience be like that of Abraham? No wonder God blessed him. No wonder he's the father of faith. No wonder. His obedience was not, wait, let me understand. God, I don't understand what you're saying. You mean I should take my son, my only son, whom, remember, it wasn't you, it wasn't me that brought the son to life. You gave me the son, it's your own son. But you want me to go and sacrifice him. Abraham got up in the morning, early, to go and obey. I want to ask a question, and I feel the Holy Spirit is asking us, how prompt is your obedience to God? How prompt? We're in a generation where, if it does not suit me, I'm not interested. If I don't understand, it can go to blazes. I'm not interested. It's all about me, myself, and I. We're talking about how human beings are so centristic. It's all about them. It's never their fault. Some young men were misbehaving and they said, well, you know, it's not our fault. It's the environment that has caused us to misbehave. Excuses. I do what I want to do. I'm the owner of myself. But I want you to be challenged this morning. God demands our obedience. And I know this is hard. I know this scripture looks heavy, but it's the truth. Abraham woke up early in the morning. No argument, no discussion. Even when his son was going to ask him questions, and we're going to look at it, it was a very serious issue for him. So Abraham rose up in the morning. The Bible said he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men along with him, with Isaac his son. So the Bible went on to say, he split the wood for the offering and they rose and went to the place where God had told him. So verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar. So where God told them to go, he saw it in sight. He was obeying God. And what did Abraham do? Look at what he said. He told his young men, stay here with the donkey. Huh? There was no way Abraham, you see, obedience is personal. Supposing those young men went along with Abraham to the place where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Huh? And they suddenly see him tying up his only son on like a stake on the altar. What would those young men do? If it was in our generation, what do you think would happen? Exactly. He'll say, excuse me, I think this man is having dementia. Let's cross check. We need to stop him. He's having dementia. We don't have anybody to call now, but I think we need to tie him up. The way he's tying up Isaac, it's him that needs to be tied up. It's dementia. He's beginning to have, you know, elderly people can have dementia. He's beginning to have it. Those young men, and they are young, they can easily overpower Abraham, you know, easily. So what did Abraham tell them? Stay here. Stay here. Now, the challenge, the lesson for me there, is at times, you might need to push aside distractions that will stop you from obeying God. You might have to separate yourself from distractions. At times, those distractions can be family members whom you love. At times, those distractions can be people who have goodwill towards you. I'm telling you, there are some decisions you can want to make for God today. And once you discuss it with your close family member who loves you, he or she may say, hang on, I think we should think about this. Obedience at times needs radicality. Do you understand what I mean?
Huh?
You don't understand. It needs radicality. As a young teenage boy, I wanted to serve God. And these are some of the things, if I tell my dad today, he just wonders, why? You know you did it. Yes, I did it. I wanted to serve God. I had come to know Jesus and I just wanted to serve him. But my dad, whom I respected a lot, was not a Christian. So what did he do? He said I was being brainwashed. He told me. He said, no. I want you to be a doctor. The way you are going, you are being brainwashed. You are becoming a fanatic. But I knew what was happening in my spirit. So when I want to go for youth programs, what do? I sneak out of the house. I will take the back door. We may have a youth program, a youth meeting starting in church at 6. What do? I'll wait for him to go and play. He plays lawn tennis in the evening. I'll wait. Has daddy gone? I'll just go. When we finish the youth meeting, people are asking, oh, Akin, please, can you help us? I said, no, I'm running back. Why? We'll discuss later. I'm going. I will sneak back out into the house. I normally don't go to the front. I go to the back. Why? Because I didn't want him to stop me from obeying God. I didn't go and discuss with him, Daddy, I have a youth meeting in church. I'm going at 6. No, there was nothing like that. I said, I had already accepted that I was going to sneak out. So then when I'm reading Christian books, Christian literature that will bless my life, I never used to read it in the lounge. I will go in my room and hide and be reading those Christian books. Because I wanted to obey God. So now, at times, thank God he's not a Christian. I remember I traveled for a youth conference about 700 miles from the house. Please, don't. I'm not telling you this story so that you disobey mommy and daddy. I'm just trying to tell you what obedience can do. If you want to obey God, you don't first of all discuss. You resolve in your heart, strength, obedience. Even when you discuss with people, and people have their opinion, they will tell you. But you resolve in your heart what you want to do. Imagine when, do you remember Mary? Mary, the sister of Martha. Do you remember her? The Bible says she took a very expensive perfume. Very expensive. And she went and broke the bottle and poured the whole perfume on Jesus. Do you remember that story? You know, I when I think about it, I'm thinking, how did she do that without discussing with her sister? Do you remember when she did it? The disciples shouted. Even the disciples who are close to Jesus shouted and said, ah, what a waste. We should have used it for the poor. Isn't it? Mary knew that if I discuss this issue, this thing I'm going to do, how do you use perfume? Please, how do you use perfume? How do you use perfume? Yeah. Isn't it? That's what you do. That's how you use perfume. Nobody uses perfume like this. Nobody does that. It's a little. Just. Isn't it? Why? And you hear the world telling you, this is your obedience of God. Can't you do it little by little? Eh? Some people will say, your obedience of God is too much. Just do it. That's all. Keep the rest. Why are you pouring everything you have on Jesus? It's little by little. Just. Some people do more. Little by little. But no. What did Mary do? She poured everything. And when she poured everything, what did the Bible say? The whole house. I'm not saying you should try it, because you can even try it if you want. Go and get one cheap perfume somewhere and break the bottle. And see how long the smell of that perfume is. I know if it's Gucci, it's expensive. You won't do it. Just perfume that was broken on top of Jesus. The Bible said the smell filled the whole house. And I was asking the Holy Spirit again. God was challenging me. The more you pour your life on me, the more the smell of the fragrance of Jesus will fill everywhere. Personally, I've been asking God. I said, God, I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The Holy Spirit said, you need to pour more of your life. You need to be like Mary, who poured everything on Jesus. It looked to men then that she was wasting. She was wasting her life, wasting her resources. But look at us talking about what she did now. Thousands of years after. God wants your obedience and my obedience to be absolute, to be real. It's not AI obedience. I've come to the matter of AI again. Do you know it's not everything AI will tell you will do if you tell it? Go and try it on ChatGPT. It's not everything. It will give you a funny answer and say, sorry, I'm just an artificial intelligence model. I cannot answer such questions. Yes. But let me tell you, God is calling us to prompt absolute real obedience, like Abraham did. And shortly before we stop, what was happening in this story is exactly what God did for us. Do you understand? Abraham gave up his only son. God has given us his only son. His only son, Jesus, who came as a sacrifice for us. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What Abraham did here, God had already done it for us. And that's why we can't but look at this story again. I don't have time. I would have gone to Leviticus to show you. When you give up your life as a burnt offering, it's very important. Abraham, you know, Isaac asked that question. He said, here is fire. Here is wood. Where is the sacrifice? And that question is still God asking us that question, even up to today. The spiritual fire of God is available. The wood, the necessary environment, should I say, the necessary model or platform through which you can serve God is available. But God is looking for the sacrifice. Who will be the person who will step up? And God will use as a sacrifice. So, we are going to pray now. And I want us to reflect very briefly. Lord, how are you going to help me with my obedience? My obedience, I don't want it to be delayed. It should not be a secondary, temporary obedience. It should be an absolute obedience. Just briefly, let's reflect. Talk to God. And then I'll round up and pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you that you are a true Father. You are showing us the reality of your love and your sacrifice for us, even through this story. Lord, we saw how prompt Abraham's obedience was. No wonder, at the end of this story, you blessed him. You said, in blessing, I will bless you. That's what you told Abraham. It was because he was prompt. He did not bother about the cost. He did not care what Sarah would say. He was going to obey. Lord, can you help us that our own obedience will not be artificial? Our own obedience will not be virtual. It will not just be something we try and do just to save face. But our obedience will be real. Our obedience will be prompt. We will not procrastinate it. Holy Spirit, help us. Keep speaking more to us, even as we think about your word. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.